because old dudes don't eat that shit.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's September 20th, 2009. Time for your Gitmo Nation audio publication, episode 132.
This is No Agenda.
And I'm back in Gitmo Nation West, live from the minimum security containment cell in San Francisco, the loft that is under threat of eminent domain and where the granola tastes just that much crunchier. Hey, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from what appears to be an extremely hot day here in northern Silicon Valley, I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill
in the morning.
Hey, man, good to be back in the same time zone.
Yeah, I don't think this is good for the listeners.
Really?
Yeah, I think that you always come up with the weirdest crap when you're floating around.
John, you have no idea what's going to hit you today. Just a
My
little
speakers
bit.
Speakers are hardly even up.
Yeah, I can hear it. The slapback is there, dude.
Well, why don't you tell me 2 seconds ago?
Because I'm only hearing it now.
The
minute when I start
we were chatting.
Because now I'm animated. Now I'm excited. Now I'm talking louder.
Just turn down yourself. Okay, go ahead. So give me what do you have that's weird? I got a bunch of. I'm very annoyed today.
Oh, then maybe I should just step back and let you roll with it. Do you want a pet peeve of the day just to kick it off, or
it's not a peeve.
You're just annoyed.
Maybe I come up with a peeve later.
You're just annoyed in general. Okay. Well, what are you so annoyed about, my friend?
As you and the listeners all know, we're not big fans of Taylor Swift and her
promotions. Oh gosh. Do we have to do Taylor Swift today?
I want you to play Warren Sapp, but let me set it up first. I'm listening to Inside the Now why am I being assaulted.
Tormented.
No. I'm being assaulted by crap like this. I'm going to play a clip from Inside the NFL. You tell me what any of this has to do with football as it evolves. This is going to be Warren Sapp, who you can barely understand.
Who is Warren Sapp? I'm sorry.
Warren Sapp's an old defensive tackle, defensive end, that's now a commentator who needs to take some enunciation lessons. Who now works at HBO, and he provides very little insight. And then the worst part is he does this bit at the end of the Inside the NFL show, and it just bugged me to no end. And I'll tell you, of course, a number of reasons why, but play it.
Up there in that press box, they forgot how to block, how to tackle, how to just play the game, and I'll
this
bet
is Chris
you they get
Collinsworth,
back to it.
Who's got too much – he's got too many jobs, but anyway, go on.
It's always about hitting the other guy in the mouth, isn't it?
That's always going to be a problem.
And am I blushing? Because did he say something good about me or not?
I couldn't
quite figure it out, but thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
Phil blushing. I might have. All right. You know what? Let's close out with a Sapp shot, if you will.
Well, Mr. Kanye West, I would pray to the Father above that Taylor Swift was my daughter, because I would have came upon that stage and put my hands on you, young fella. You don't do that. Don't do that. That was this young lady's time, her award. You get these hands put on you if that was my little girl.
And the president was right.
Oh, he's definitely a jackass.
Safe to say, from start to finish, Warren Sapp was fired up about that one.
Yeah, big stuff.
Adam Clark. All right, that's it from us. Thank you for watching. Be well, everyone, and we'll...
All right, John, so, unleash, go for it.
Okay, so this is starting to show up. I found out about this when my stepson sent me a note. And then it's starting to show up on blogs around the country. Of course, it's not showing up in the mainstream media except in terms of what you just heard. And Obama obviously dropping a couple of interesting comments. Taylor Swift and Kanye West have the exact same agent.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and it turns out, if you start reading around enough, this agent, who happens to be the president, and tell me how you get this guy for your agent, the president of William Morris.
Yeah.
Thank you, Taylor Swift's dad.
Yeah.
He had already set up a scam publicity stunt like this with Kanye West again and 50 Cent some time ago when their album sales were going down.
Dude, but he does this all the time. Kanye did it during the American Music Awards, and he was slamming Vince Gill. This is, and then, but notice, because remember what I said on the last show
is that Kanye West is likely an MK Ultra subject and mind control.
Yeah, I know you said
but
this.
Look
okay.
But you'll pay attention now. When you see him, whenever he's apologizing about doing one of these things, he starts like rubbing his head, and it's like it really, really hurts. And he, you know, and he'll move his cap up, and then he's like, and he starts rubbing his forehead because it hurts, because he knows that his subconscious knows that it's wrong what he's doing, but they flip the switch somewhere, and then and he just has to go for it.
Well, of course, that
watch you watch him.
But let me finish my point.
Okay.
First of all, the Celeb Jihad, a very interesting website, has pointed this scam out, and also a site called Beer Steak Bullshit, which is a very interesting website, point out. But nobody has made the connection or made the following observation, which I find to be distressing. How does the president of the United States get involved in a publicity stunt like this? A, and B, does he actually believe this really happened, that he had to call out Kanye West as a jackass? Is our president susceptible to the stupidest low-level kinds of publicity stunts? And if that's the case, what are the Russians pulling on him? What are the people in the Middle East pulling? What about the scammers that, you know, in Lebanon? I mean, guys who really know how to do this kind of thing. How much wool is being pulled over our own president's eyes if he is susceptible to crap like this, which apparently he is.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to No Agenda live on noagendastream.com. It's clear.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Yeah. It's a very simple formula, but it's effective. John, you are so right. I can't refute that. There's nothing I can say other than, and I connected these dots for you just on the previous show. Remember that Taylor Swift is showing up on all these NBC shows, right? Remember we identified that? She's on, what was the big profile? What's the big profile show? Dateline?
Yeah, it was Dateline.
Dateline, so of course.
They did a whole show on her.
Well, we made all those connections between NBC and her dad and GE, and he's a huge hedge fund manager, and he's there in Nashville, so he's kind of in the catbird seat. He's got the music industry in his pocket, and he's buying all these awards for his daughter, and it's clear the president needed a diversion from all the crap that is really going on. I mean, when's the last time you actually saw a news report about the G20 coming up this week, or the things that, well, by the way, we told our listeners, our audience heard about the Russian pullout. I'm sorry, the pullout of the missile shield in Poland and the Czech Republic before it actually hit the news. We were already talking about it. Now it's like, now it's a big deal, of course, because, you know, we broke it, John. That's why they had to respond after we broke the story. But it's obvious the president is in on the diversionary tactics that are planned in the media.
Because if he's not, then he's a dummy.
Yeah, exactly. He's no dummy. He's no dummy. That's for sure. But yeah, you're absolutely right. And he goes on, and his famous quote, hey, why did that happen?
He's a jackass.
Right. So his famous quote is heard
around
the world.
I have that whole clip again sent to you. If you play it with it in mind that the entire thing is a setup to get picked up and played, because, you know,
it is a setup.
No, but the listeners have to listen to it again.
Wait, which one is it?
It's the one that came in second, said replay clip.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know there was another clip that came in. No, there's no replay clip.
There should be a second clip in there. Do you have last week's clips? Because it's in there.
Yeah, I have to load it up if you give me a second. Damn.
You should have all this stuff at your fingertips. You got this fantastic lash up.
Yeah, but I didn't realize we were going to do last week's show this week. What's it called? Obama Jackass Chat. I have it. You know, the archival system works. Give me a little bit of credit. Here we go.
That was really inappropriate. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like she's getting an award.
By the way, listen to the tone of his voice.
He talks like this.
When I first heard this, because I hadn't seen, I hadn't seen anything or heard about it until I heard this first clip. I thought that was an impersonator. Who's doing like a bad, you know, kind of like a Mike Tyson.
A bad Obama.
A bad Obama. I'm like, that's not Obama. you know, and that says something. We should probably analyze that.
That was really inappropriate. You know, I mean, it's like she's getting an award. What are you buttoning?
What are you buttoning?
I hear you. I agree with you.
I hear you.
Does that count as the first question?
This, by the way, I think was before the news conference.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought
it was
after.
First
question, yeah.
John's here.
The young lady seems like a perfectly nice person. She's getting her award.
You know, I like her daddy. He contributed lots of money to my campaign. You know, that makes a lot of sense.
What's he doing?
Why would
up
he
there?
Do that?
He's a jackass.
He's a jackass. No. Dickhead press. Bastards.
No, all this stuff. I'm assuming all this stuff. Where's the pool?
Where's the pool? I gotta jump in it. Oh, I'm sorry. Different kind of pool.
Come on, guys. Cut the present.
Oh my God. You know, you're so right, John. When you hear him say, "Where's the pool?" He's almost like telegraphing, like saying, "Hey, make sure this gets out, guys. It's recorded, right? Ain't it? Where's the pool? Did you record it? Where's the pool? Did you get it?"
And some slack. I got a lot of other stuff on my plate.
Apparently not.
Apparently not. He's watching entertainment shows.
I can just see the Obama family sitting there at night. Michelle, get over here. E.T. starting. Come on, we got to watch.
Because I remember last time there was the fly thing. That was the highlight.
What was the fly thing?
That's where he flipped a fly off of his sleeve. They caught it all. This was big news. They filmed him killing a fly that was on his sleeve. And then PETA came all over the place saying it's cruelty to animals.
Oh, yeah.
And now, back to real news.
Now, that worked out well for you.
That was.
You were a ninja.
That worked out well for you, Mr. President. You really diverted everyone's attention during the fly episode.
Except PETA.
And Reggie has the fly to release in about 7 minutes.
Yeah. And you got the chopsticks this time?
Yeah, right.
What's the top six? I wonder what that means.
Chopsticks, I think. Oh, I don't know what that's referring to. Somebody might know. Hmm. So anyway, well, by the way, I didn't get, I kind of disappointed in our producers because I didn't get the list I was hoping for of all the Taylor Swift awards that were won. Nobody picked up on that.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I'm going to have to do it myself.
Yeah, oh, God
Although
forbid.
I'm trying
God
to drop forbid. The story. I mean, I thought we were going to stop talking about Taylor Swift, but if this kind of thing where the president's now involved in her publicity, it's ridiculous.
Let me, something that just came in on the drop site, which just tripped me out, is so funny. This is, you know, the backmasking of the 80s, spinning records backwards. So listen to Obama saying, "Yes, we can," several times.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
You can do this at home,
yes,
by
we
the way.
Can.
Now, let's play it backwards.
Thank you, say.
Can you hear it?
Thank you, Satan.
Yeah, thank you, Satan. Let's listen to it again.
Thank you, Satan. Thank you, Satan. Thank you, Satan.
I love it. I love it.
Who comes
I love
up
it.
With this stuff?
I don't know, but I love it. I love it. I love it.
Thank you, Satan. That's about as clear as anything I've ever heard.
I mean, I've heard lots of these backmasking. You're like, yeah, maybe I heard it, but I didn't prompt you, and you heard it through a Skype connection. You could even hear it.
Yeah. Did you do the reverse yourself on Audacity, or did you just get somebody else to do it?
No, this is someone else did this.
Well, I'd have to go do it myself to make sure.
And now everyone's saying, "Yes, we can. Yes, we can." So everyone's chanting, "Thank you, Satan." Listen. Thank you, Satan.
You know, maybe it goes like this. Here's how it works. You say, "Thank you, Satan," and then put it in an Audacity and spin it backwards, and it says, yes, we can. That's going to be our new phrase.
I don't know, man. I didn't have the time because it came in just as we were about to start the show, so I didn't have time to actually do it. But of course I will. I mean, that shouldn't be that hard to throw it into it. Maybe one of our producers, maybe someone in the chat room can do that while we're chatting. They can just throw a "yes, we can," and or even better is "thank you, Satan," and see if it says it sounds like "yes, we can."
Yeah, I'm looking at this at the way the syllables are laid out, and I'm questioning this now.
Really? Don't question it, John. Please. The entertainment value is extremely high.
I don't see where you get the thank you part from can backwards. With can, I mean, yeah.
Well, let's just listen to it again. Hold on. Let's back it up. So here's the yes we can.
Yes we can.
Here, send me that clip.
It's a YouTube video. Oh,
nuts.
Even
yes
worse.
We can.
I think it may be bogus.
Yes we can.
Thank you, say. Thank you, say. Thank you, say. Thank you, say.
Thank you, Satan.
It's definitely humorous. Who comes up with this stuff? I mean, it's amazing.
People with a lot of time on their hands.
And a lot of people are going to be that way while we're all out of work. That's what the key to success for government corruption is. Get people back to work and you can get away with anything.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy. Ah, that was a good laugh. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Satan.
Thank you, Satan. Well, you know, it's funny. I picked up on the way back. I went to Amsterdam, real quick trip, like a 2-day trip. Picked up Christina, who's now hanging out with me here at the. She's learning all about eminent domain. It's good for these kids to learn about how your government actually works.
Yeah, you can get screwed.
Yeah, you can get screwed. Yeah. By the way, there's a registered letter for me at the post office from the TGPA. So I guess that's the official notice. I have to go pick it up, but I'm pretty
sure.
Yeah, I think that's and it's interesting because they have not yet. I don't think they have a legal basis because they haven't actually purchased the loft from the owner yet. So they
maybe
technically
they just come in with a bulldozer and that's the end of the loft.
Yeah, I met the guy from the bar across the street yesterday.
John? Yeah, John Collins. Mean the, wait a minute.
Yeah,
me,
please.
Wait.
Why don't you just give out the longitude and latitude of my place? Why don't you do that,
sorry,
John?
About that.
Yeah, thanks.
Let's put it. Well, it's not going to be too hard. If you're going to be gone by the time anyone tracks you down,
yeah, three
let's
seconds.
Let's put it this way. You're talking about the historic brick building that looks like it was built about 1840.
Yeah, and I met him in the elevator. He was meeting someone in one of the offices here yesterday. Interestingly enough, Saturday. And I said, do you live here? He says, no, I'm across the street. And I said, oh, so when are you going to be out? He said, we received our letter. It's December 31st. And so I haven't received my letter yet. And then I saw in the mailbox that I had a registered letter, so I guess I got it. And I said, dude, are you going to do like a tear-down-the-wall closing party? He says, actually, I'm going to put on a football uniform and shoulder pads. I'm going to ride the wrecking ball all the way through. Like, okay. So,
I don't understand. Where's the San Francisco Historical Society in all this?
In someone's pocket, obviously.
I mean, that building's only one of about, at least the ones I could see in that area, of about six.
Oh yeah, and even
buildings
our,
that look like they were pre-Civil War.
Yes, it's all brick, and even our building has architectural significance. Okay.
Well, too bad.
But I don't think they can actually do if they haven't purchased it yet, they can't throw me out.
I'm telling you, I told you what to do, but you wouldn't
I've
listen.
Been doing no, John. You're
no,
wrong.
I'm talking about putting a skull, an old Indian skull in that field across the street.
Oh shit. Okay.
And some bones.
Does anyone have a skull? Oh, by the way, before I forget. Do you know what I received anonymously in Amsterdam from one of our listeners/producers? Six golden teeth. Yeah. And with a little note that says, you don't need to know who I am, but I really support you guys. These were my mother's, and she had and she had them removed like 40 years ago. And I want you guys to have them just in case. How awesome. It's gruesome to look at. In a little box with like six golden teeth, like, all right. So they're totally meltable. And
I'll bet they are. Somebody sent me a gold band or some little piece of gold that they cost. It was so, gold, you can smash it to like this incredible thinness, one atom thick, which is what gold leaf is. Mm-hmm. And they said they costed it out. It came out. It's worth $5.50. And
who costed it? You sent it in that prepaid envelope to the sendusyourgold.com people.
Well, if we get enough, I'm not going to do it with just the one thing.
Mm. Hey, speaking of gold,
there's got to be an assayist around or someplace where you can do this without going to, through some mail order operation.
Oh, I'm sure we can find someone. The IMF approved a sale of 403 metric tons of gold reserves, likely to raise $13 billion of cash to replenish its coffers for lending to low-income countries hit by the global economic downturn. I don't want to say too much, but not that I'm any financial wizard, but I got my gold a long time ago. And what is it now, John? $1,020? Maybe it may have dropped a little bit. $1,017 an ounce?
You want me to give you the exact price?
Yeah. It's above $1,000, which
Oh, yeah. Well, it bounced up above $1,000 a couple weeks ago and has been kind of hovering.
Okay, $1,920.
The dollar being a useless piece of crap doesn't...
Well, but this clearly has... this IMF move is clearly signaling the importance of gold.
Maybe, but it also could be a sucker play. I think they're trying to get the Chinese to buy up all the gold and then stick them with it.
What do you mean
gold
stick them with
$1,010.30.
Okay, what was the all-time high? The all-time high was like 1,028 or 1,030 an ounce. We're going to hit that. We're going to go above that. Let me just give you a prediction.
Could go to 2,000 for all you know.
Yeah, I think it will. I was just about to say, somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000. I think we're going to see that happen.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Which will more than double my investment. More than double. And by the way, it's not enough to just call your broker and say, give me some gold, because that's not gold you're buying. That's just a check mark in the spreadsheet.
What bothers me is Glenn Beck is promoting gold more than you are.
Yeah, that is a shame.
I mean, in fact, Glenn Beck, I want to do a little deconstruction on Glenn Beck.
Who, by the way, is just killing it in the ratings.
Glenn Beck has been, they've turned the on switch off with this guy. And there's two things that's happened. One, they've changed, he had the midday radio show. They have changed this show drastically. And I have to say that then he got the cover of Time magazine this week.
Yeah, I saw that.
And there's a big scandal about the photo because the photo was taken by some left wing photographer who doctored it. And this isn't even a recent photo. She just happened to catch this photo of him some time ago. And it's all, and she put extra blemishes and stuff just to get back at him because she hates him.
Man. Yeah.
Which is like, okay, whatever. Glenn Beck has been, he does his sincere, in the end of the world thing on television. He does it quite good. I think is definitely very entertaining.
I don't even think it's end of the world, but it's good. I mean, he's doing
it is good. It's good to a point.
No, there's some
The radio show, they've changed it. They've remodeled it, and it's now become the number three show, at least according to some sources. Out of the blue, they've changed it to a political, like you take the morning zoo and combine it with Rush Limbaugh, and you've got the political zoo.
Hey, everybody, it's...
Morning.
How you doing? It's Glenn Beck here, everybody.
It's about right. And what they do, he's got two of his, I believe they're two of his writers that he has on the TV show, because they seem like, they every once in a while they try to, we don't know who these two guys are. But they joke around, they play the same kind of clips we do with the two, with all three of them laughing in the background, having the time of their lives playing Obama clips. It's actually one of the most entertaining radio shows I've heard for a long time.
Where can I hear that in the Bay Area? What
it's on, I think, KNEW at KNEW, I think at noon, or I think it's at noon,
but you don't know what if it's at noon,
9:10 a.m.
Oh, then he's competing with Rush Limbaugh, isn't he?
No, Rush Limbaugh in the Bay Area is on from 9 to 12 on KSFO. Oh. I think Hannity comes on after that, and I think he's competing with Hannity.
Oh, well, he'll totally hammer Hannity. Well, it's Glenn Beck will be the new number one show. Who owns his show? It's not an EIB type thing, is it?
I don't know. If he's self-syndicated, or maybe Fox owns it.
We should look into that. We should find out who owns his show.
I'm getting quite annoyed. I mean, as much as I enjoy the entertainment value of these guys, I'm quite annoyed
with their
by
success. You're annoyed with their success and the amount of money they're raking in. I am.
It is annoying.
Yeah.
But I'm more annoyed by the fact that they put out way too much disinformation, and it's really bothering me. I mean, these guys are supposed to be the paragons of honesty and all the rest of it. And let me just give you a couple of examples. Beck, some weeks back, was with his all the sincerity that he has, moaning about the fact that some poor farmer in Kansas somewhere was couldn't grow his own wheat to grind his own wheat to make his own bread. The government had quotas on how much wheat could be grown and by whom and all the rest of it. Yeah. I thought this thing was a sketchy story, so I looked into it, and this did actually happen around 1942. And it was a guy who was already like a wheat grower that had he was overproducing, and he was making the excuse that most of his overproduction was for his own use, and they said, no, it's not, and they told him to stop. Glenn Beck misrepresented the story to an extreme. Now, yesterday or the day before, I'm listening to Hannity, and by the way, people, when we ask for donations, you have to realize that I'm torturing myself for you. Anyway, so I'm listening to Hannity, and Hannity's going on and on and on about how the first lady went to the farmer's market to buy a vegetable, and so she had 32 Secret Service cars, an entourage, and all she had to do, you know, because you needed one vegetable, so she could cook something that night. And he went, and he just berated her for wasting all the taxpayer money while all these people were unemployed. He just never let up on it. This went on for 15 minutes. So I look it up. The first lady, she was opening the Washington, D.C. farmer's market. It was a publicity thing. And it wasn't for her to go buy a carrot. It was because it was a staged event. And yeah, she needed the security there because there was going to be a public, and it was a new farmer's market that was opening up near the White House someplace. And it was only a few blocks away. So she wasn't driving for miles to get to the farmer's market with a caravan of 35 cars to buy a carrot. This was a misrepresentation.
Well, this is the problem, John, is when you're doing 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, you got to fill the time with something. And remember, this is exactly why our show works so well, is because we don't even set a time limit. We can start whenever the hell we want to start, which today was a little bit later because I had to finish my yogurt and granola. You know, they have all these commercial breaks they have to hit. I mean, it's a whole process which takes a whole bunch of crap, which basically smells the whole show up. It's the nature of the beast, which is why we clearly hold the future with our format and with our business model. Although, you know, we'll be eating that one carrot for dinner that the lady had to get because we can't make any real money on doing it this way. It still holds the future. It's more entertaining. And, you know,
so Mimi says to me, my wife, she says, why don't you guys get a radio show?
No.
And that's what I said.
No.
I said, no, there's no way. Why don't we just shoot ourselves?
Yeah. But she's just thinking of the cash, dude. That's all she's thinking about.
Yeah.
I get this from time to time. Yeah. I get this from time to time. It's like, hey, you could be on the radio. Yeah. Yeah, we could be on the radio and hate ourselves.
And then there's the teasers. Olbermann and Maddow, the left-wing talkers who seem to be not getting as much attention in this current little battle between these two cultures. Somebody pointed this out on one of the shows. It says one country, two cultures. I asked a whole bunch of people at the office and elsewhere if they knew about the acorn thing going on with the right-wing
culture.
Don't
tell me no one in the office knew about it.
No one in the office knew about it.
My God.
They didn't know about it at all. What?
Except,
what are you talking about?
Except for Andrew Grummet.
Well, Greg Grummet doesn't count because he listens to our show, and of course,
But John, this is the point. You're talking about a lot of young people, so I don't think there's anyone there over 30. Well, there are a couple, but you and Ron don't count. So everyone else is under 30. They don't read newspapers. They don't watch television. They don't even watch Fox. You know, where that is the simplest form of bubblegum.
Fox skews to an older demo.
Yeah. I'm sorry to do this. I just have to do a quick battery change.
On that little microphone you have hanging there? You know, I think it would be interesting for you to actually get a real microphone that had, you know, of course, maybe your voice is too deep and you need this little, one of those tinny little. Lavalier mic.
Hold on, that's one.
Using. By the way, while you're changing the batteries, let me get this sheet of paper I had.
And that's two. We're done. Okay.
Oh, nuts.
Because I have to do the transmitter and
I get
the
show to myself for a minute.
No. Very, very disturbing notice, John.
Yeah?
I don't care about your by the way. We need to really break the show for this. Of course, it could only happen in Chicago. At the University of Chicago, a molecular genetics professor studying the origins of the plague
yeah.
died last yeah, week.
Malcolm Kasatabin. Malcolm Kasatabin, yeah. professor. He died, but here's what I thought was weird about that. The minute he died, they pulled down his website.
You think that's weird, or do you think that's SOP, as in standard operating procedure?
Well, no, I think it's SOP, something fishy's going on, because generally speaking, I've followed, you know, these guys will drop dead, and you can go, you can still find their website.
Find his research, right.
Forever.
No, they took away his research, because he was working with the plague, with the actual plague bacteria, and they do an autopsy, and like, well, we can't find out what killed him, except for this plague that was in his body.
Well, what's funny about it, he supposedly was working with a non-virulent plague, some sort of a mild plague. Yeah. Or such a thing.
Just mild.
Oh, I only have the mild plague, which apparently wasn't that mild because he dropped his finger and boom, he's dead.
This is not good. This is really not good. And there's more plague news. But of course, you know, when you see that coming from Chicago, that's what really freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah, when did the University of Chicago become a center for medical plague research?
Then we have, this is from Reuters, a mosquito-borne African virus. It's still loading here, so I'm going to give you the name. It has a name that I didn't recognize. I'm sure you will. Oh, come on, you bastards, load. Oh, now this. Oh, of course. Don't tell me that all of a sudden the story is gone. Are you Googling while we're at it?
No, I'm logging on.
Okay. Well, so it's still loading. Anyway, there's this.
The story will probably be someplace else. But yes, I want to remind people out there, and I want to remind you too while we're at it.
Save your web pages.
A story.
Yeah, save them.
That is wild and weird.
Save it.
Save page as.
Yes.
And put it in a folder and keep it, because that thing could disappear at the drop of a hat. It happens all the time.
Dateline Friday, September 18th, Washington, according to Reuters. The United States and Europe face a new health threat from a mosquito-borne disease far more unpleasant. I love that. Great reporting. Far more unpleasant than the West Nile virus that swept into North America a decade ago. The Chikungunya virus has, they're coming to get me, as you can hear in the background. The Chikungunya virus has spread beyond Africa since 2005, causing outbreaks and scores of fatalities in India and the French region of Reunion. It has also been detected in Italy, where it has begun to spread locally, as well as France. We are very worried, Dr. James Diaz of the Louisiana University of Health Sciences Center told a meeting on airlines, airports, and disease transmission sponsored by the independent U.S. National Research Council. We should Google that. The U.S. National Research Council.
It said the independent, didn't it?
Yeah.
That's probably different than whatever else you're going to find.
It's not a governmental thing. Unlike West Nile virus, where 9 out of 10 people are going to be totally asymptomatic or may have a mild headache or a stiff neck, if you get chikungunya, which, by the way, is a horrible marketing name, if you want to launch something, you don't want it to be called chikungunya. You're going to be sick. The disease can be fatal. It's a serious disease, Diaz added. There's no vaccine. Not yet, my friend. Not yet. I'm sure we'll come up with one. It's the U.S., United States National Research Council. Here we go. Oh, it's a wiki page. The working arm of the United States National Academy of Sciences and the United States National Academy of Engineering. Not a membership organization. Organized in 1916. Oh, those are the good times. In response to the increased need for scientific and technical services caused by World War I. Yeah, they probably had the fucking virus. Anyway.
So I got another, we're going to talk about this now. You might as well run.
Now we're all going to die. Let's just do some clips.
Well, I got another related clip to the swine flu thing there. It's the...
swine flu? It's a long clip.
It's too long. But yeah. We can break it up as we go along. I want to remind. This is interesting because this is the new the local news, KCBS. I'm sorry, not KCBS, but CBS, KPIX, local channel 5 in San Francisco, and they've been doing these stories, one story after another. But let's start this one, and then we'll stop it, and I want to analyze it as we go through it.
It turns out children seem to be more susceptible to the H1N1 flu virus than adults, and doctors don't...
Wow, this is... They change their story every 5 minutes. I thought it was young people.
Know exactly why. Mark Strassman has a story of two very sick children and two very different reactions to treatment for the swine flu.
Now, roll it. So here we go. Now we're going to see a dramatized story.
Needlessly dramatized. Not real. Okay, yeah.
No, I mean, it's a real story. I mean, they have the real person, we think, and the real dad and the mom, but it's shot like a documentary. And so I'm seriously, I'm watching this thing
scripted.
Going, what is the deal with this?
I love it.
And it goes on for three. This is the news. You know, they only have 20 minutes of in a half hour space with the news. Let's stop for a second. In a 30-minute news show at 11 o'clock.
It's 10%. It's more than 10% of the show.
Let me break it down. You got 10 minutes of commercials, so that leaves you with 20 minutes. You got 10 minutes at least of sports and weather.
Yeah.
Which leaves you with 10 minutes of actual news, of which this is a third. This taken away like a third of the entire show for this one story.
But you're missing the point, John. This is not a story. It's actually six commercial pods bought by the CDC. Don't you understand? They bought it.
They said, take him to the ER immediately. They said, we're going to have to admit him. They said, you got a very sick boy. There was nothing I could do except for pray. That's what I had.
Always believe in yourself. As much as others believe in you, and I believe in you, Tony.
Well, who's that?
That's the dad in front of...
Oh, my God.
Crying in front of his kid.
Hugh Eslenbaum sits for hours encouraging his very sick son.
You take it from me. We're going to fight this together.
Above is sedated son, Tony. Photos of the All-American 10-year-old. Tony got the H1N1 virus last Sunday and began fighting for his life.
Dude.
What is an all-American 10-year-old?
It means he wasn't born in Kenya.
It's hard to see him that way.
Just outside, Tony's mother, Lizzie Eslenbaum, keeps a round-the-clock vigil.
I'll go in and talk to him, but I start crying so easy, and I don't want him to hear me crying.
Carolyn Howard
is with the drums.
I love that. That's awesome. Let's listen to that again.
Let's stop there. Now, first of all, I don't want to take away the fact
that the kid's sick. Yeah, of course.
Kid's sick, and these parents are
miserable. They're devastated.
Miserable, but I have to say this. Both of them are being exploited.
Well, three of them are being exploited.
Then we go to the next girl who's even sicker, and then they play this. It turns out I listened to this drum thing over and over again. Like, what is this doing in there? It's not. She has a breathing machine on, which apparently they've mic'd.
And they bring up the drum volume up and down on this mic'd breathing machine,
which is going pump, 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 which sounds like drums, which dramatizes the whole thing. Now, don't forget, this is going on for 3 minutes and 17 seconds.
And by the way, if I can just point out, when it comes to news reporting, it is the lowest form of editing typically that you will see anywhere. It's boom, boom. It's a very set formula. You get like some B-roll, you get the voiceover, you get a quote, you get B-roll with a voiceover, you get a quote. But to actually go and to dramatize and enhance the sound of the breathing machine and edit it in, this thing was done. This took a while. This took a little bit of time to put together.
Okay, this took a long time to put together. It was done by the network, it turns out. And when you hear it, what really got me... I mean, I was watching this thing casually until they said one thing, which I think is coming up. Oklahoma City.
Okay.
This isn't even a local story.
All
this
right.
This is a packaged story that is shipped all over the country. I'm sure it's been seen other places besides just my station, about two kids in Oklahoma City. This is what they have to go to Oklahoma City to find this story, because that's how rare these complications must be, it seems to me, if I was going to deconstruct it. But I'm completely irked, because why is my local station pumping this story at me? And you'll figure it out at the end. And I don't want to say to anybody not to get a vaccine if they don't think they should get one.
Yeah, I do. Don't get a vaccine. Don't.
But
just put it this way, this is
so orchestrated that it's getting on my nerves in a big way. But keep playing.
All right, I just want to hear that breathing machine.
Start crying so easy, and I don't want him to hear me crying.
Carolyn Howard's daughter, Letitia, is another critically ill H1N1 patient in the intensive care unit of Oklahoma City's Children's Hospital.
You gotta fight through this, baby.
Heavily sedated and clinging to life for the last 3 weeks.
I love her hand.
3 weeks? Wow.
Is telling that I love her, ready for her to come home.
At home, this 10-year-old loves to sing and dance. But in Oklahoma, one of the state's hardest hit by H1N1, Letitia got sick and never got better.
Hold on a second. Oklahoma is... I thought they stopped counting. They stopped counting. How do they know? Oklahoma swine flu. That's bullshit.
Yeah, duh.
Hold on, right here. Oklahoma, what do they have? Oklahoma public nationwide are tracking and investigating human cases of the strain. They've got nothing about hardest hit. Ugh, bullshit.
This machine, called an ECMO, may be her last chance. It oxygenates her blood, acting as her heart and lungs to give her sick body a fighting chance.
Oh, this is heart-wrenching.
Tony's room is on that side of the nursing station. Letitia's room is right over here. They're 40 feet apart. But doctors say their chances of recovery are miles apart. We're going to pull through this.
Tony's improving, slowly, day by day.
He's making baby steps forward, which is where we want him to be.
But Letitia Howard's family knows she is not responding.
What explains why one child would...
Not responding to what, John? Was there anything clear in the
story? To any sort of treatment. And by the way, there's a subtext here. The kid that's going to survive, they think, is white.
Oh, yeah. And had the vaccine by some chance?
No.
Oh.
No,
you watch. You watch.
Doing well. And another child would be not doing as well. Great question.
Wow. So let me just stop there for a second. So the child doing well is white. The child who is likely going to die is black. That's what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Of course. This goes right back to our theory of... what did you call it? The binary weapon, where if you're poor and you're, which I guess is what they're saying with white and black, and maybe what you're saying, I haven't seen the piece.
Yeah, no, it has to be because the one girl's the overweight. She obviously
has been eating McDonald's and genetically modified.
And the other one, the white kid, is all American, by the way, so he's a healthy
all American.
Kid.
And this poor black girl is not all American.
That's what the implication I'm getting.
My God, this is actually a hugely racist piece of shit.
You think?
God damn.
Wish we knew the answer to it.
Oh my gosh.
This is something that's new for us.
Letitia has weight issues and asthma.
Oh, there you go. Okay, thanks, Jen. I got it.
Not enough, doctors say, to explain why she's sinking as Tony improves.
Well, first of all, we know that if you have respiratory diseases, that any type of flu is dangerous to you, particularly if it's one that hits you in the chest, in the lungs, because, you know, it can complicate things. And if you have asthma, that's very, very difficult. So, duh, this has nothing to do with swine flu at all. This has to do with pre-existing conditions.
Doctors say to explain why she's sinking as Tony improves.
The doctors don't understand why?
Exactly. Isn't that hilarious?
Dr. Dvorak.
I have no idea.
Dr. Dvorak, what is your prognosis here? What do you think is going on? My diagnosis, Dr. Dvorak.
It's a complete mystery.
I have no idea why she's doing so poorly.
Something that's new for us.
Letitia has weight issues and asthma. Not enough, doctors say, to explain why she's sinking as Tony improves. 43 of America's 593 H1N1 deaths have been children under 18. So far, none of them in Oklahoma.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought Oklahoma had a huge outbreak. It was like Oklahoma hardest hit.
But
none of them died in Oklahoma. My brain is freezing, John.
Where two families are at the crossroads of this mystery virus.
Oh, I love you so much, son.
Mark Strassman, CBS News, Oklahoma City.
Well, the first dose.
What?
Now you got to listen to the close, the topper.
The tag.
The local boy coming on to put the sales screws to the public.
Okay, here it comes.
Doses of the swine flu vaccine should be available early next month, they will probably be the nasal spray version. That version, called Flu Mist, is approved only for healthy people between the ages of 2 and 49. Only 3.4 million doses of the nasal spray will be available.
Hurry.
However, the CDC says says that it's possible that some vaccine shots will become available by the first week of October as well.
So this has baffled me as well. Since when are vaccines applied through a nasal mist?
Well, here's what baffles me even more. When he said that this stuff called flu mist or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
When did this even show up in the news? I thought we have to have two shots. You're going to have two shots plus your regular flu shot. Two shots, that's three shots.
But you know what,
John? All of a sudden you spray some in your nose?
Here's the setup. So now I understand why they had to get rid of the company that makes that homeopathic shit that you use all the time, which you spray into your nose. What's that company called again?
Right, Zicam.
Zicam. They had to get rid of Zicam because they didn't want people buying the so-called homeopathic stuff. Because you know, of course, anyone who has a nasal mist, you know, people are they're going to market it or whatever, and people would go out and buy that or just be confused in general. So they had to,
as usual.
So they had to kill Zicam.
Confused by the media.
Yeah, they had to kill Zicam. And by the way, why did they kill Zicam? They said it was because it could cause permanent loss of smell.
Yeah, your sense of smell.
No, I think this untested, or at least at best poorly tested, nasal mist vaccine could probably do some other damage, but nothing for consumers about that. This is, and you know, Christina and I were walking. We walked down to the bank the other day, and we're walking past Walgreens, and of course Christina switched on. She's like, "Dad, they're selling the flu shot at Walgreens." Like, yeah, baby, that's right. That, of course, is for the seasonal flu. But
That's another thing that's baffled me. I think I mentioned this before. I don't understand how the seasonal flu vaccine got such a head start this year. Every other year, it comes out about the same. I get that seasonal flu shot. Every other year, it comes out about the same time, around 10 days into October.
So, John,
it never comes out in September 15th because they can't make enough of it, and whatever the process is, it takes too long.
So, John,
changed?
Are you thinking of getting the seasonal flu shot this year?
Not this year, no. I've got enough Tamiflu and Relenza.
He breaks from tradition. Gee.
Hey, you know, I'm a little suspicious of the scene right now, and Relenza,
really?
Fine.
Really? You think?
Really? Yeah, maybe I'm doing the show.
I have saved at least one person. I feel vindicated. I feel completely
There's
vindicated.
Nothing wrong with that shot. But anyway.
No. Well, then why don't you go take it, big man?
I could take the shot. It doesn't make any difference. I haven't had the flu ever since I started getting that shot. So there must be something to it. Not that I don't think that the whole thing is rigged.
Yeah. Hey, of course, I continue to track the, what I believe to be a war between the, at least some of the Obama administration and the CIA. Although I actually believe, I think when looking into the situation now, I think Rahm Emanuel is probably a handler for Obama. He's probably a CIA operative, and they've put him as the senior, you know, chief of staff, whatever it is, to handle him. But I don't think he's able to handle him that well. And this news story comes out in the LA Times, who I'm liking more and more because these guys report on some interesting stuff. Seven ex-CIA chiefs have now gone on record and said, hey, Obama, could you call off Eric Holder with his investigation into the CIA and the torture?
Yeah, as soon as that story ran, the first thing I thought was you.
Yeah, yeah. This is good. I like that association. Whenever you see something weird about the CIA, think of me, okay? That's really good. So John Deutsch, Porter Goss, Michael Hayden, James Schlesinger, George Tenet, William Webster, James Woolsey all said, hey, you should call this off, dude. And I have to say, I'm fearful. I am very, very fearful. These guys... The CIA, who, of course, are really secret, not just in... Even their funding is secret. We don't know where they get their money from. Congress doesn't approve their money. Do you know how the CIA is funded, John? Don't answer, because you don't know.
I don't actually know. I mean, they're supposed to somehow get something from the general fund, but I don't know how.
Oh,
I mean, I don't get
please.
It either.
Yeah, dude, it's from the Madoff funds. That's how they get the fund. That's why they had to suicide all those guys. That's the connection. That's how they get all their funding.
So what do you suspect could happen here? Bad.
Well, a couple of things could happen. First of all, we're in a very, very interesting place in time where Obama is warming up to the Russians. We have Israel. The link wouldn't work. And of course, thank you. You don't need to remind me. I should have actually saved it. I think it was an Israeli publication in English, though. Someone in the Likud has said, you know, it looks like we're going to have to attack Iran sometime around December. I think it's well
during
known
the holiday shopping season.
Yes, got a good one, John. The CIA is now building the largest presence anywhere in the world in Afghanistan, according to the San Francisco Chronicle. They're clearly expanding, and you know it's well known that the links between the CIA and the Mossad. You know, just looking at what Obama is doing, it just feels like more and more war. And then we have all this weird shit going on. Like, remember we talked about the there was a so-called thwarted attack on the president when he was in New York to do his Wall Street talk. They raided some guys, and I think it was Brooklyn or the Bronx or somewhere like that. Well, these guys, turns out, are from Denver. Have you been following us? Because a little bit of this has been on television.
No, actually, I have not been following that at all.
Okay, let me get you the link here. This is from Reuters. The guy's name is Zazi, which is why.
Oh yeah, no, the Zazi thing. Yeah,
the Zazi thing.
That.
Okay, so this is what I don't get. And the story is that the guy has links to Al Qaeda. Links to Al Qaeda. He's a native of Afghanistan. He's an airport shuttle bus driver in Denver. And I'm sorry, he's from Denver. He was living in Queens. So they suspect this guy of links to Al Qaeda, and he's not arrested. He's just walking around. He's like, you know, he's like, oh, I'm not talking to you to interrogators anymore. Just talk to my attorney. This is a weird ass freaking story. Really, really weird. If someone truly has links to Al Qaeda and they suspect you of something, then they should be locking this guy up. But he's not locked up. He's walking around. News cameras are following him. He's like, you know, and he does the
tip. It's like it's almost staged.
Well, I think that, staged, or the guy is 100% CIA.
Well, staged.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course we know that, you know, he's from Denver. We know that the new CIA offices are in Denver.
They're moving everything to Denver, to that weird underground facility with all this crazy art.
If anything, I'm worried that we are potentially looking at a repeat of Northwoods, which happened during the JFK era and not long after. That was kind of foiled. JFK was assassinated. Are you familiar with Northwoods, John?
No. Is it in the Legacy of Ashes book?
No, actually, it's in the JFK. You know, in 97 or 98, they released the JFK archive. Let me see if I can find it for you. Anyway, Northwoods was what we would call a classic. What happened here? Why did that? Somehow my session got killed. It was a classic false flag attack where the idea was, to make it look like Cuba had attacked or was going to attack, and therefore we could go and grab Cuba. So, you know,
Cuba's going to attack. Attack what?
Yeah, I don't know. Attack a jellyfish. So that's kind of the feeling I get, is a repeat of history. And I fear for our president and Glenn Beck, both. Kind of at the same level there.
Yeah, no, I think Glenn Beck is being set up for something, because I've never seen a guy make a move.
Well,
He's been on the air for years.
But wait a minute, before you go, so check it out. So here's how it could work. And I don't think anyone in America, if you're an actual American, or just have a love of this country, would want anything to happen to our president. But my feeling is we're being set up, and here's the setup. By the way, it was fun to see someone, who was it? Oh, it was that douchebag, Bill Maher, actually called out the Kanye West Taylor Swift extravaganza as another fueling of the fire for racism in the United States. He says, oh, here's a black man taking the award away from a white woman. This guy is a huge troublemaker. And wouldn't it be horrible if there was a setup, if there was a false flag attempt planned and it was going to be blamed on racism? This is what, if you want to bring down a country, do that. Do something to the president, say it was a racist attack, and then just step back and watch the shit fly. This whole country will come down in seconds. And that's what I'm really worried about. That type of takedown.
Yeah, I'm not thinking that's going to happen.
It's a good setup, though, man. They're setting it all up with all the racism shit. These
douchebags are setting it, trying to. I think most people aren't even paying any attention. That's the joke of it. I mean, they've got the public so dumbed down that except for a few people that listen to our show and contribute mightily, and a few people that watch, that I don't even know what else you can watch it. You can trust. Somebody brought it up on one of these shows, and I thought it was interesting. They called it One Country and Two Cultures. And this is what I was trying to point out when I was asking people about who heard about the Acorn tapes over at the office. Nobody heard that, but they all knew about Kanye West and how he was mean to Taylor Swift. You could probably talk to the same group of right wingers that all know it all, but worked up about the Acorn and the major media is not covering it and it's a disaster. And you can ask them about Taylor Swift and they won't even know who she is.
Although Glenn Beck made a good point, or he started, starting to make a good point. He's hammering it over and over. He says we should stop calling publications like the New York Times mainstream media. It's fringe. And when you look at the numbers, he's right. He's right. I think that's actually a pretty good point. You know, how's Jay Leno doing? Has he dropped down below 5 million viewers yet?
Well, I know he dropped down about like 30% the second night.
No, more than that. I thought he dropped down by like 40%, didn't he? Went from 18 million to 10 million.
I think he's leveling off, so we'll know. I give him another week, and then we'll have a real number.
By the way, another fine NBC production that used the NBC-orchestrated Kanye West, Taylor Swift controversy, I should say, to try and boost his own ratings.
Now, that said, by the way, somebody came up with something on one of these shows saying that the reason that NBC is so pro-Obama is not really about Obama. It's about the cap and trade.
It's GE.
And GE, it will benefit enormously if they can come up, if this passes. I'd like to get some links to some documentation that indicates this to show conflict of interest.
No, I have this is from a couple of weeks ago. I'll look it up. GE has been telling at like certain company events, has been talking to their employees about, we really need, of course, employees can donate to politicians. And of course, that's how it often happens. If you look at donations, see a whole bunch of people from one law firm or from one Wall Street firm. So GE, of course, has a couple of employees, and they're saying, you really should support, these politicians because they are working on legislation that will benefit General Electric. And that, of course, is a huge conflict to be saying that.
I would think.
Okay, so I have some documents.
They own NBC and NBC News and MSNBC, and they have CNBC. Rachel Maddow and what's his name? They got the big head.
Olbermann. So yeah, so for them to be saying that, I think that's a pretty big deal. And I can probably look it up real quickly for you.
Well, you're doing that, by the way. You might also go to your email and get the message from Ray, the radio guy, .com guy.
Yeah.
And he has sent you, he went and did the reversed, yes we can thing and has a clip.
Oh, really?
That has it going both ways that he actually did. We can trust.
Okay, hold on. Let me just download this. Here we go.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Thank you, Satan. Thank you, Satan.
No, nice try.
Oh, here it is.
Yes, we can. Thank you, Satan.
Thank you, Satan.
No, it sounds like he's saying mash you, say. It's not as good.
Well, he also doesn't have...
I think the thing was tweaked.
Let me listen again.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
So the thing that he did wrong, though, is he reverses thank you, Satan, and that doesn't sound like yes, we can. He reversed it in the wrong order, but let's listen again.
Thank you, Satan. Thank you, Satan. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Nah, he will say.
You know, if you have a little bit of Obama's drawl, I think it actually might work, John. I can hear it. I can hear thank you, Satan. And if you have
okay,
a little...
Okay, well, maybe.
And by the way, he had to practice, right? You know, they don't just make the guy president like that. It's like, dude, you've got to practice this. Yes, we can. It's got to be drawn out. Otherwise, you don't get the Satan in the reverse. You got to work on it. Ray, thank you. That's awesome. Not as clear as Obama's, he says, but they are both phrases, twice forward, then reverse. Yeah, I buy it. It sounds a lot like it.
All right, well, we'll stick with that story then.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be my ringtone. What are you talking about? We'll stick with that story. This is the biggest story of the decade as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, heck with all that CIA government takeover stuff.
I can't find. Yeah, really. Who gives a shit about that? I can't find the prompting employees. I'll have to look that up. We'll do it on Thursday's show.
So there's a big stink about the fact that San Francisco's got these just started, and exactly who approved this or whatever, I'm not sure. I'm sure they split it. But the San Francisco airport spent $190,000 of the taxpayers' money, or those fees that they add to your every flight you take, for a climate passport kiosk. So when you go past security checkpoints, you'll see these. They're in the Terminal 3 and 2 or more in the
It's not an international. I haven't seen anything in international yet.
Well, there's supposed to be two in the international terminal someplace, and there's one in Terminal 3. And it's apparently you go in there and you punch in your flight, and it calculates how much carbon credits you should probably donate to this company so they can plant a tree.
Well, I see that stuff on checkout on airline websites all the time, and they actually have a little link there so you can go and buy your carbon credits.
Somebody did the calculation. I can't confirm it, but they said that if you actually looked at the real carbon credit trading that's going on, that you're paying 60 times more than you would if you actually were trading.
Really? you don't say.
Yeah, it's amazing. Who knew?
Who knew? Monsanto. You gotta love it when you see a news story like this, John.
I know where you're going.
On Monday, August 17th, Monsanto chairman, president, and CEO Hugh Grant, which by itself is just funny, sent a letter to his counterpart and competitor DuPont board chairman Charles O'Holliday Jr., claiming the chemical giant's actions were, quote, misleading to the public and a serious breach of business ethics far beyond honest competitive behavior.
Turn down your...
I'm sorry, wrong one. This is the one I meant.
Hello, Kettle. This is the pot calling.
Yeah, I blew the punchline.
Well, you sure blew that joke.
Yeah, I did. But, my God, I mean, this is crazy. They're calling each other names and being misleading to the public. These are the most evil corporations on the planet, fighting it out publicly in court and in the media about dumping toxic chemicals, bribing top officials in the Indonesian government, employing children in India, and oh yeah, killing people. It's just outrageous. Is that the story you thought I was going to do?
Yeah. Yeah, well, as soon as you played the Monsanto jingle, that's the only Monsanto story we have in the can.
No, there is another one.
Oh, well, give it to me.
Yeah, the other one here from Associated Press. German chemical company BASF, which I thought they only did, like, videotapes.
Yeah, that's it.
How stupid am I? I thought BASF was like a high-end audio company. German chemical company BASF says it has received U.S. approval to market a new herbicide to battle broadleaf weeds resistant to a chemical commonly used in herbicides like Roundup.
Oh, so this is basically Agent Orange.
Oh, God. BSF said Tuesday the Environmental Protection Agency has approved its Kixor. Oh, I love the name. Kixor herbicide for use in four products that will be offered this fall. Hey, EPA, way to go, guys. Thanks. Expected sales should be $200 million by 2012. Growers discovered that some broadleaf weeds have developed a resistance to glyphosate, which is the chemical that Monsanto first patented and used in Roundup. BSF says Kixor herbicide will attack those resistant weeds. And then, and here's the kicker, a Monsanto spokeswoman declined immediate comment. So that doesn't sound good. So, you know, finally, Mother Nature takes over and says, okay, we're just going to stop, you know, with this glyphosate. And we're just, you know, we've got to build some resistance against all this crap. And then BSF, oh, no, you don't. We're going to come out and kill you again.
We got you now.
And the EPA, boom, just approves it.
Even the woman in the EPA that I detest.
But even though glyphosate, and the huge story about that a couple months ago, is known to kill unborn babies. It's hugely toxic for fetuses, for unborn children. Hugely toxic. And the EPA is like, yeah, oh, yeah, we'll approve that. Sure. How much of that $200 million in sales am I going to get? Please, if you haven't had the chance, go see The Informant. It opened on Friday. I have not seen the movie, and I'm kind of afraid to, but the general story will give you enough background, if you don't feel like reading the book, to see exactly how these huge corporations, which screw us out of money through price fixing, lying, corporate theft, you name it, and get away with it. And just get away with it. And of course, the little guy, in this case, Mark Whitaker, who was a kook, by the way, and a total, which is why the book was hilarious, when you see, and it's a true story. And I'm sure the movie really plays off of that, with Matt Damon playing this whistleblower, Mark Whitaker, who of course was actually embezzling money and doing all kinds of crazy shit, and was just a psychopath. He gets, you know, like 10 years in federal penitentiary, and all the guys who are doing all the actual price fixing, you know, go to the country club and get off, and there's, you know, minimal fines, and ADM, Archer Daniels Midland Corporation, continues to sponsor programs on public television because they are America's supermarket.
Well, so, since we're, if you want to go in that direction,
let's just play that NPR clip again from last week. I love it so much.
Let's go do a better... Well, yeah. Okay, play that one first, and I have two more clips related to okay. it.
It's actually PBS. This is the chairwoman...
The CEO.
CEO of PBS.
National Public Radio.
So this is, you know, remember, we take donations, which comes out of the goodness of your heart, and they are supposed to be taking donations out of the goodness of your heart. But for some reason, it seems more like, well, she tells it herself.
It's really good for you, but it doesn't go down very easy. I
mean, PBS is the best. Is that the best news? Do you think that's the best news channel?
No, absolutely. Wrong one. Wrong clip.
Is that the wrong one?
Yeah. I don't have that. I didn't reiterate that clip. You have to go back.
No, I thought I saved it specifically.
No, that what you're playing.
Oh, no, here it is. Here it is. It is NPR. Okay. I'm sorry. I got it. My mistake.
Okay, moving on to money. How are NPR's corporate underwriting revenues holding up in the recession?
So once again, this is National Public Radio, who are supposed to be existing due to your generous donations and grants from foundations, because they're a nonprofit with great-looking offices and automobiles. But listen to the actual answer.
And what about foundation grants?
Two different stories. Underwriting is down. It's down for everybody. I mean, this is the area that is most down for us. Is in sponsorship, underwriting, advertising. Call it whatever you want.
Call it whatever you want. It. Yeah, we'll just call it advertising. Okay.
Yes, call it whatever you want. We're calling it advertising, lady. All right?
And by the way, our donations, actual, true, honest donations, are up. Not much, but they're up.
No, they are up.
Yeah. Okay, John. No,
I think people are finding the show valuable.
Yeah,
You know what? I think it's probably, you know, maybe I think it may be because we're just like a annoying. I mean, we just have a lot of annoying information.
We may have a hit on our hands, John. Let's keep it up.
So play the one. Now there's two of them that I've got there. I think one of them that you started, the one that you just started to play. I want to play, and I want to get set it up first. This is again from that Bill Maher show that had Kathy Griffin.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, around in the roundtable panel, Kathy, all of out of the blue, starts babbling about what do you think the best news is? What do you think the best news is?
Yeah, right.
PBS, PBS, PBS. And, oh yeah, PBS. Oh PBS. PBS. NPR. Yeah. NPR is a national treasure.
No! One of these guys. Let's listen.
So play it.
It.
It's really good for you, but it doesn't go down very easy. I mean,
PBS is the best. Is that the best news? Do you think that's the best news channel?
Absolutely. Yeah. NewsHour is fantastic.
BBC.
I
mean, BBC yeah. America.
BBC. Yeah. NPR.
PBC. National public treasure. National public radio.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
Yes! Oh, yes! Oh, yes! It's a national treasure! Oh, yes! Let's applaud for NPR! Oh, yes! National treasure!
Okay, so now I'm going to go back to that press meeting at the National Press Club. And what I found interesting is that the president of the National Press Club, who's asking the CEO all these questions, she's supposed to be a reporter, but she's just like some very kind of mousy woman who it's kind of embarrassing. She asks a question, doesn't quite frame it just right, but I'll tell you what the question is supposed to be. She's got this woman. She's going to give it to her because it's near the end. It's question and answer. She's going to get it with one of these questions. And so she says, well, you know, it's interesting that you've just laid off 60 people, but meanwhile, you're building new digs down the street that are worth a fortune.
Yeah, that's
the
huge.
Can you kind of come to grips with this?
Yeah, that's the huge television studio they're building for their big news show, which is a national treasure.
NPR laid off an excess of 60 workers, but NPR is also moving to grand new digs in two to three.
I'm sorry. What did I do wrong?
At the beginning, we stepped on it.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Laid off an excess of 60 workers, but NPR is also moving to grand new digs in 2 to 3 years. Please explain how you can afford...
Did she say grand new instead of brand new?
I think she said grand new digs.
But it's
digs,
supposed to...
by the way, is a journalistic term.
Yeah, that... And it's really a term the elite are using more and more these days because they heard about this website called Dig and they thought it was kind of cool to use digs.
NPR laid off an excess of 60 workers, but NPR is also moving to grand new digs in 2 to 3 years. Please explain how you can afford the new spot.
Well, the move-in date is up in the air for one thing, but we did, what's happened is we earlier this year before the actually in some ways it was a very good thing that it happened before the economy went like this. We bought it's a building that would be reconstructed into new headquarters in what do you call it the new NOMO thank you NOMO. Got to get my neighborhoods right. And we sold our building at 635 Massachusetts Avenue. We were actually either really lucky or really good or both because we sold it at the top of the market and got a good price for it. So now the economy has gone down, and we are evaluating our options about how we raise money for the new building. But we've got this nice cash buffer from the building that we sold, and We're looking at timetables now and how we move forward with that. So it's a challenge in this economy, but one building is sold, another is bought, and we'll take it from there.
Well, what does that have to do with the 60 people who were laid off?
You asking me?
We have this nice cash buffer from the new NOCO, NOMO, NOMO, HOMO, whatever she's called. These people are... They are elitist. They are scammers. They are thieves. They are corporate shills. They are holes, I tell you. They were a complete holes. And you should not be listening to them. Except Car Talk is kind of interesting. But, but I mean, seriously, doesn't anyone see the obvious corruption? And just look, turn on PBS, listen to NPR, listen to all the huge corporate sponsors or whatever you want to call it, like advertising. Please get a freaking grip. This is not a national treasure, Kathy Griffin. Your tits are a national treasure. Nothing else.
Maybe.
They're nice.
So,
They're pretty good.
Made your point. But the point is that, and the funny thing was, they asked her, there's another clip I have to go back and recapture, because it was a very funny question. They asked her something point blank about something, and she said she had no answer for it. And it was like, she obviously didn't know about it. And
could you send me that whole thing? I'd love to hear the whole recording.
The whole recording. I'll send you the whole thing. It's rich.
And I'll put it up, I'll put a link in the show notes so people can listen to the whole thing. And so it's obvious that at this point in time, I think we should just reiterate once more, this is the entire reason why John and I chose this business model. We don't feel we have to work for free. We might as well be working for free, because we ain't making that much money on donations, but it's okay. It's coming in and it's growing. And as long as it's growing, I'm really, really happy, because it shows that there are people out there who want to participate in this form of media, this format, which requires very little investigative journalism on our part. It actually involves the entire audience as producers. We do have to, you know, sit through a lot of C-SPAN, find a lot of boring shit. It alienates our families who just, it really does. It really does.
My daughter, why are you watching this crap?
Yeah, exactly. Why are you watching these old, Nick, who runs production at Mevio, is like, dude, why are you watching these old dudes? What kind of show is this? I'm watching C-SPAN. Why are you watching these old dudes? This is no good, man. You know, turn on Bravo. So we go through all this, but it's working. If anything, and I just want to plug a book. No, it's not going to be Atlas Shrugged. I do want to plug. I'm about halfway through it. It's a fun book to read. Although Dan Brown has often been, you know, debunked as being historically incorrect, etc., just the entire idea behind his latest release, the Lost Symbol, which I picked up at the airport. It's only in hardcover right now, but it's a quick read. I have a real problem not visualizing Tom Hanks continuously throughout the book, but in some ways that kind of helps. But it makes it a little goofy. But forget all the Masonic stuff and everything, which I'm sure a lot of it is based on historical fact, and we know that some of the founders were Freemasons, and there's a lot of Masonic symbolism in the United States.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the basic idea that there is a consciousness of awakening amongst citizens, I do believe in some form is happening. Maybe it's a little bit of the teabaggers. I think a lot of it is people just understanding that the media is feeding us shit.
Have you considered the possibility that Dan Brown is a mechanism? You know, Dan Brown was sued by one of my bloggers, and who's also a wine expert, the guy who wrote the book on the French conundrum, you know, why the French lived so long, and they blamed it on and figured out it was wine. And he wrote a book that was very similar to Dan Brown's other book, ended up suing him and suing Random House, found his place, you know, bugged with all kinds of weird devices, and he lost the suit. He got thrown out. It was a very sketchy situation. And I've always been suspicious when anything Dan Brown does now shows up at all.
Well, let me answer that. Yes, I not only consider it, I believe he's a total plant, because it's just like why, and that's why I call myself the crackpot, because when people come up with really wild what is immediately deemed a conspiracy theory, the easiest way to get rid of that person is to minimalize him by saying, oh, that's just crazy. So it's better to put out something very close to the truth and say, yeah, it's just crazy. It's just a crazy story. This Dan Brown, he just made it up. Of course he's a plant. And it's much easier to put the true information or information close to it out there and then just discredit it and just write it off as fiction. That's how it's been working for years. So yeah, you're absolutely right, John. The guy is no savior. He's a douchebag, I'm sure. Like Damien Hirst, another douchebag. Did you hear about that? But just to close out Damien Hirst.
No.
So you know Damien Hirst is this crazy artist who makes stuff like a stuffed calf with golden hooves and then sells it for $40 million. He had this exhibit in the UK, which I think was called The Shop. And it was basically a shop. It's like a convenience store. And that was his art exhibit. And some kid, who's also an artist, stole a box of pencils from this shop, and then he put it on the internet and said, oh, you know, I've got some art. I've got this fantastic piece of art. It's this box of pencils. And Damien Hirst had him arrested. And because he said the box of pencils was worth £250,000 as a part of his art exhibit.
It was just a box of pencils.
Yeah, just
right?
a box of pencils. Yeah, but it was in his art exhibit and it was stolen. So the ergo, it was worth £250,000. And the authorities came and arrested the kid. He's in jail. He's in actual jail for stealing a box of pencils.
Why didn't they just say to Damien Hirst, "Hey, I got an idea. Go to the store, buy another box of pencils, and replace them."
Yeah. So anyway, so there's all these crazy business models. Just to bring it back, ours is please help us donate some money.
Well, let me mention some people who did help us. We got Jason. Well, I mean, this is our contributors for this week. Jason Baker at Lee's Summit, Missouri, $60. Michael, we got a lot of interesting people from all over the place.
And any more $31.14 that us boneheads couldn't figure out as pie?
Oh, yeah, 314. Well, it's because there was, everybody complained to us about the $314. Yeah. Thanks. Michael Sorensen, $50. He's in Helsinge, Denmark, and his name is Sorensen with the O that's got the line through it, which is not an O. It's some other kind of weird character.
Ooh, it's an
what
ooh.
Is that called, you know?
It's an O. It's not an O, it's an O.
And then we got Melanie Hartness from Weyburn, Saskatchewan, which brings our female listenership up to 8.
Yay! We're
and
doing
she gave
well.
Us $100.
Oh, thank you very much. That's a double whammy right there.
That's a double, yeah. It counts as 2. Jeffrey Leonard, $65.50 out of Reston, Virginia. And since he's in Virginia, Reston, you know, it's got a lot of spooks in that area. I don't think Jeffrey's one necessarily, but he gave us $65.50, which is code for something.
Yeah. You know, please, guys, in that little comment field when you donate, tell us what your code is. You know, we might not even read it on the air, but it's still important to know what the code is.
But anyway, 6550, which probably means get off the air, Dvorak and Curry.
Yeah.
RJ, you have to look it up in the CIA manual. RJ Hegedus, in Spring, Texas, nice little town, 5432.
I've given up. I've just given up on all these numbers.
Okay, 5432. We'll figure it out later. Ricky Pierce, Sydney, Australia, $50. Jason Anderson, Riverside, nice little town. They got a University of California campus there, $75, which is good. Cody Brown in Bowden, Alberta, and I believe it's pronounced Bowden, B-O-W-D-E-N.
Sounds right.
Leanna Riley, which I believe is a female.
Now we have 9.
9 women.
John, who gives a shit about the money? Let's just get more chicks on the show.
Woolner, Australia. She's down under, as it
She's
were.
She's a Sheila from down under.
Nick Rogers in Basingstoke, Hampshire, which I think I've been there. Daniel Boyd, $65.50.
Again.
Hello.
Again, that number.
And he's in Lexington, Kentucky.
That's the which second is the, time. 65,
by the way, if anybody 50. Goes to Lexington, make sure to go to the house that housed the Kentucky Senator or the I think it was a Kentucky Congress. He was the I know for a fact that he was the brother of one of the great senators, Henry Clay, and his name was Cassius Clay. Huh. And he had a he was a ambassador to Russia for a while. And if you go to this house, you'll see a cutout of a news article. Now, Cassius Clay, you remember, was Muhammad Ali's real name or initial name, and he changed it when he became a Muslim. In the Cassius Clay house, there is a news article from back in the 1800s discussing the famous potentate from Ethiopia or something coming to visit Cassius Clay, and his name was Muhammad Ali.
Really?
I get the sneaking suspicion that Muhammad Ali himself, being Cassius Clay, would have visited this place if he had the opportunity and would have seen that name and said that, and then it would have stuck in his brain, and that's the name he picked. I just think it's the weirdest coincidence. Hmm. Anyway, I got more Cassius Clay stories.
Coincidence? I think not.
John Altobelli from Seaside Park, New Jersey.
Hey, HR
50 bucks.
HR 6550. That's that Water Act, I think, where the United States now owns all your water.
Oh, that
yeah.
could be.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
All right. Well, we need more 6550 donations to offset that.
Yeah, that'll help.
And John Kelly of Charlotte, North Carolina, 50. And I think there was some from some carryovers that kind of crossed over. Like, I think I did them though. Lauri Korpi from Helsinki and John Petrucini and Malcolm Blair. I'll mention them again because they got in at the cusp there and I get mixed up easily. Anyway, I want to remind people to go to noagendashow.com and click on the link and give us some of your hard-earned cash. If you think about it, is in terms of being essentially 50 cents in the parking meter.
Dude, I went to the movies last night with Christina.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Jennifer's Body, which, what do you think? Pretty good, right? Yeah, that was pretty. We thought it was a pretty good movie. $11 a ticket. $11, and then you pay the $3 convenience fee for booking online, so that's $25. And then we had a medium diet Coke. Of course, Christina knows there's aspartame, but she doesn't like the calories. And then a medium regular Coke and a bag of Jay Leno popcorn. Another $15. So there's an evening out to the movies. What's that? Well, there was a lesbian kiss in the movie. I agree. Thank you. Thanks, Christine. That's my daughter. It was well worth the price of admission. What am I talking about? It was great.
Well, we can do some lesbian kissing on the show.
Yeah, $47.
For $47, you went out for that, and we're doing this show, and we're asking for people to give us $50 or $100 or to subscribe for $5 a month.
For a whole year worth of for two shows a week.
Which is 118, what I've calculated it last week.
But Christina makes a really good point, John. If we had some more lesbian kisses on this show, then maybe we would get more money.
Yeah. Well, we just need this. Well, you know, you don't even have to do it. Just a good sound effect would do the trick. Look, those two lesbians are kissing.
Megan Fox? Oh, my God, man. She was so hot. Oh, that was
I saw her in a talk show. What a dimwit.
It doesn't matter. I'll tell you.
Oh, no. I mean, it does. It doesn't matter if she never opens her mouth.
No, it doesn't matter. It's something weird about going to the movies with your daughter, and then there's this, like, how long was it? Like 30 seconds, maybe? Like, if there's a 30-second lesbian kiss, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm getting turned on. I'm sitting here with my daughter. This is so freaking wrong. This is just wrong. This is so fucking wrong. But worth the price of admission.
Dvorak.org/NA has all the different options on it. Please go there and help us out this week. We had, you know, this has to keep coming in. I just got a Twitter from some guy in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
I should go back to that and find the page, who says, why don't you do a show without begging for money?
Oh, okay.
And, you know, the Swedish guy would think that because it's a socialist country where they, you know, get the stuff. You know, if we were doing the show there, they'd just give us money.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, we have to be asked for money because we're not going to be able to afford to do the show. I mean, this is time consuming. And it's not, you know, we're not just two generous guys giving our time away.
No, I mean, why should we? Why don't you go work for free, Swede? Go build a Volvo for free, okay? Give me a Volvo for nothing.
Like, give us a Volvo and we'll stop.
Yeah, give me a Volvo and I'll stop begging for money, I promise.
So anyway, noagendashow.com, dvorak.org/NA, and you'll continue to get good material, as good as we can do anyway. Yeah. I think we're producing good stuff.
Thursday I'll be in New York, so we'll have to see what the timing is. I'm actually flying back Thursday afternoon. We'll have to figure it out. We might actually, we have to do the show Wednesday night. I don't know, we'll figure it out.
We can do Wednesday night. We've done Wednesday night before. It's not like, you know, possible. By the way, Marcos just sent me a Skype message saying that they call Megan Fox toe thumbs. Did you notice that she had toe thumbs?
I was looking at other pieces of the anatomy. Sorry. Coming to you from loft under real threat of eminent domain removal in Gitmo Nation West, the minimum security containment cell. At San Francisco, I'm Adam Curry.
And monitoring the noagendashow.com site for help from the producers out there. And I want to thank, by the way, all the producers who have sent this stuff in, we use lots of it. So keep it up and keep doing the research, and we'll follow up. I'm John C. Dvorak.
We'll talk to you again on Thursday, probably, if not Wednesday night. Keep your eye on the Twitter for more info. Right here on No Agenda.